Friends, it is quite striking to see how so many hearts are heavy these days. I've seen it all throughout Advent, and kind of increasingly so, and even into the Christmas season now. There's just so many concerns. There's so much craziness in our world that is dragging people down. But rejoice, right? Very clearly today, rejoice. God's glory and splendor are everywhere. Within you, around you, afar, all the way on the other ends of the earth, God's glory and splendor are there. The light of Christ leads the way through the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. We hear that, of course, right at the beginning of John's Gospel. Yet, you must be aware of this light and then follow it, keeping your focus on Christ. Otherwise, the darkness will indeed overcome you. It won't overcome the light. It won't overcome Jesus, but it'll overcome you and it'll overcome me if we don't stay focused on Him. We see a great example of this truth in today's gospel passage. There we first find the Magi from the East. So these guys were astrologers. They were stargazers. They were studiers. They were scientists, more than just stargazers. They were scientists and they're from the East. So they're back in Persia, Babylon. We don't know exactly where they came, but a long ways from the Holy Land. And amazingly, these men, who probably are also pagans, they leave everything behind to embark on a very long and dangerous journey to follow this amazing star that supposedly leads the way to the newborn king of the Jews. Seems like a pretty crazy thing to do, doesn't it? They leave everything behind. Back then, travel was pretty dangerous. There were all kinds of robbers and bad people and so they would have had to travel in an entourage, and it was a big undertaking. And these are pagans. They're scientists, too. These Magi, they're probably very well off to be able to afford such a journey. It might have been years, even multiple years, one way. And as I mentioned, they would have needed some kind of an entourage to keep them safe. They had to bring food. They had to provide for themselves. They didn't even know where they were going to end up, right? They're just following this star. And they also seem to be leaving much of their old life behind. Multiple years gone. This is a big undertaking, not knowing when you're going to come back, not knowing if you're going to come back. Apparently, they've had enough of that old life and know enough about Judaism that they're willing to take a big risk and open themselves up to radical change when the Messiah arrives. They know that that's what they believe that that's what the star indicates. And they likely heard about this via the Jewish exile, which was in Babylon. And so the Jewish scriptures, the Jewish message probably somehow got to these men. Okay, now contrast the Magi with King Herod. He doesn't recognize the light of Christ at all. He might have been aware there was this huge bright star, but he doesn't really recognize it as the light of Christ and doesn't even care about this cosmic event until he learns that a new king has been born. Now that gets his attention, right? He must have been well aware of the expectation that the Messiah was expected to come in this time window. There were all kinds of imposters, people claiming to be the Messiah because of especially Daniel, but other prophetic writings. And now that there is some pretty strong evidence that this might be coming true, the huge star and then these Magi, they come all this way, and why would they do that, right? So now that there's some pretty strong evidence, Herod realizes that something may well be going on. Maybe he should pay attention. Yet how did he respond? With fear, not with faith and wonder, as the Magi do. He's already living in deep darkness and just can't welcome the light. So he hatches a plan to try and snuff out that light. He mistakenly sees the light as a threat, as a competitor, when the reality is that embracing Christ is the best thing he can possibly do. His best chance to be a truly great king, to be truly happy. His heart is controlled by fear, though, and darkness overwhelms him. Darkness doesn't overcome the Magi, however. Not at all. Surely they encountered many a challenge on their journey, no doubt about it. Yet they allow the Lord to amaze them and fill them with peace and joy as they welcome His light into their lives. Maybe they're not even completely aware of it, but they're allowing it to happen. They just keep on following him in wonder, growing deeper and deeper into his glory as they go along. And ultimately, they're able to gaze upon the face of the Christ child and gaze upon his mother. It doesn't say that Joseph was there, but he was probably hanging around too. They probably saw Joseph. And they're forever changed. It says they go back home by another way. That just doesn't mean physically. It means they were forever changed. Their lives, they lived life differently because of this experience. Imagine the stories that they had to tell when they got back home, what they had to offer to their friends and family. Pretty amazing stuff. Perhaps the Magi were even aware of the passage of Isaiah that we find in today's first reading and saw it coming to fulfillment. We don't really know. Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. Whether they knew about the past or not, it would certainly happen to them, right? Now, of course, there's challenges in your life. And there always will be. No doubt about it. But keep your focus on the Lord, on his love for you, his delight for you, his glory shining on you. That's what matters most of all. Isaiah continues, darkness covers the earth and thick clouds the peoples, but upon you the Lord shines, and over you appears his glory. That's the most important reality in our lives, friends. Don't let the darkness win. It's there. It's going to be there. But the darkness will not overcome the light of Christ. So instead of letting the darkness win out, focus on how he wants to love you, even amidst the challenges, how he wants to dispel the darkness and fill you with his glory. He wants to do it at every moment. What the Lord desires for you is far, far, far beyond and far more amazing and beautiful than anything you can imagine. Just ask the Magi, right? God is constantly revealing himself to you, revealing his unquenchable, infinite love for you. This is what epiphany means. It means manifestation or revelation. And in this context, the epiphany is the manifestation of the Lord's glory. And we actually commemorate it in three different historical events that we're remembering. The coming of the Magi, of course, which we have in the gospel passage. The baptism of the Lord, which will be celebrated on Monday. And then the wedding feast at Cana. All three of those key manifestations of the Lord's glory. But of course, we tend to focus most on this one today because it's in our gospel passage. But why is God doing this, all this manifestation, revelation stuff? You know, why is he bothering to do that? The sole purpose he reveals himself to you is to lead you out of the darkness and brokenness of this world and into the splendor and glory of his love, all so that he can redeem you and then redeem the world through you. He wants to redeem the world through you. It's not just a matter of me and Jesus, you and Jesus. He wants to redeem the world through you. It's pretty amazing and wonderful, isn't it? Through the paschal mystery of Christ, his passion, death, resurrection, and ascension, through that paschal mystery, the Lord takes darkness, brokenness, and sin and transforms them into gifts that you would never even dream of. That's what he does with the brokenness. He transforms it. Indeed, he transforms you into the saint he originally created you to be. He lifts you up higher than you were before you fell into sin, if you just allow him to. And then what does he do? Then he draws all of humanity together through you, especially in the Eucharist. That's him redeeming the world through you. The Eucharist is the source and summit, right? It binds us together in our Lord. It's really tremendous what he wants to do. So yes, there's darkness. Yes, there's troubles. Yes, there's struggles. But then there's this, which far supersedes any of that. That's what the Lord wants us to focus on, friends. And then we allow him to address the darkness and the troubles. So let's draw this together, shall we? Long story short, be not afraid. Be not afraid. Don't get captivated by the darkness in you and in the world. That's exactly what the evil one wants. He wants you to focus anywhere but on the Lord. So instead, open up in wonder to the splendor of our God and his love for you and his marvelous plans for you. He's the answer, brothers and sisters, and the darkness can't overcome him. Doesn't matter how hard the darkness may try, ain't gonna happen. So let us conclude by revisiting our opening prayer today, which so beautifully pulls all this together in a very short space of words and time. May the splendor of your majesty, O Lord, we pray, shed its light upon our hearts, that we may pass through the shadows of this world and reach the brightness of our eternal home.